My message this morning is titled, It's Time. And so hopefully it will be a timely message for some of you in this room. I want to start by sharing a scripture that most people, if you've been around church for a little while, you'll know this. It's Jeremiah 29, 11. And it says, "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you a hope and a future." Now, that's not just a scripture that I say. That's one of my life scriptures, and I believe that. And I believe it's true for every person that is here this morning, that God has a plan for you, and He wants you to prosper. He doesn't want you to come to harm. And as a man, there's a few plans that I have for myself. I'm a father, I want to be a good father. I want to raise some wonderful children, hopefully, that will go on to become, love God and know that they are loved and go on to be contributing to society. I want to make sure that my wife knows that she is loved and I love her well as well. I plan to do that. And you know, the other thing I plan to do is I want to do really well at my job. I want to be here to add what I can add to this community, to see you guys grow and prosper in God as well. But I was having a reflection a little while ago. I think it's really, really good to sit down and just reflect on your life and sort of cast ahead and where it would be. This is a few years ago I was doing this. And I asked myself the question, in 10 years' time, if I continue on the path that I'm at right now, where am I going to be? And I know God has great plans for me, but I was looking at this path that I was on and my life was a bit hectic. There's lots of things that were encroaching in on it. And I thought, some of the three most important things that I want to see come to pass, to be a loving husband, to have great kids on a path to where they're going and do really good at my job, they're in jeopardy. I looked 10 years ahead and I might not have been married. I might not have been in ministry and I might not have had a good relationship with my kids if I continue on that same path. But fortunately, as I said, we're in a great church and something had to change. So I got around, I started getting shoulder to shoulder with a few people, as Christy was saying. I started asking a few questions of those who I knew had more wisdom than I did. I started praying to God. They gave me some really good advice. They prayed with me. They told me, pointed me back to God in many places, gave me some great things to read. And out of these conversations, it helped me start asking some of the right questions for my life. What does He want me to go? And what does He want me to do? Because I was asking some of the wrong questions. You know, when you're in the midst of something, it's really hard to see a way out of it. And you need to have that advice of others coming in. That's why I really encourage every one of you, get into a connect group, get around some people here at church. Don't hold the things to yourself, but ask, actually reach out. Be a bit vulnerable with others. You know, and they asked me a few questions and gave me some advice. And some of the questions I liked and some of the questions I didn't like. Some of the advice I liked and some of the advice I really didn't like. And as a consequence, I didn't like them for a little moment. If I'm being honest. But by asking that question, it helped me to think and therefore act differently. So I want to ask you a question. As I begin, I want you to pop it in the back of your mind, and then we're going to come back to it and we're going to sort of expand on it as we go. Here's the question. What is the wise thing to do? Write it down if you need to. What is the wise thing to do? See, I got to this place in my life where things are getting a little bit out of control because it allowed urgent things to start taking over what was important. You don't want urgent things to drive your life. You need the important things to drive your life. Important has got to become over urgent. So the urgent are the things that others will urge you to see as important. Usually it will serve their means or their purposes, or maybe it will serve a perception they have of you. Whereas the important things are those things that only you can do, that are central to you, what God has called you to do for His plan and purpose for your life. One of the keys that freed me to begin this path was some advice from Kathy Vass. And I've taken this on. I repeat it to myself weekly and daily sometimes. Don't let people take your time. You give your time. So adding to that question, what is the wise thing to do? What is the wise thing to do with your time? Because your time equals your life. Job 14:5 says, "A person's days are determined. You've decreed the number of his months and set limits he cannot exceed." You can overeat, you can overspend, you can overachieve, but you cannot overuse the time that you have. You can count your dollars, you can count your friends, especially on Facebook. It's great, it has a little counter there for you. but no one can count the amount of time you have left. And as there ever, as with everything that we have, it's not about how much time we have, it's about what we do with the time that we have. We're responsible for being good stewards of everything we've been given, including our time. So what do we do with our time? I just need Karim, I asked him to volunteer. Come on, give a cheer for Karim. I'm going to get Karim just to walk across the very edge of the stage that's up here as he's going along. I want him on the very edge. I don't want him to be safe. He's got to move along the very edge here. I just want you to watch him as he goes. Because you may have heard of what is called in life, and many people say, we've got to get my work-life balance right. Anyone heard that? Perhaps even said that. I've said it before. I've got to get my work-life balance right. And when people say that, generally not saying I've got to get my work balance right. What they're saying is I really need to manage my time better. I need to make some adjustments. See, managing your time wisely is a balancing act, as we see Karim doing such a good job here. Balance is about distributing demands so that we can stay on track towards what is important. And as he's going backward and forward here, you notice he's keeping his eyes on where he needs to go. He's putting one foot in front of the other. He's not actually stopping and going and dumping everything. I think it's really important. When we talk about, I've got to get my, you know, manage my time better, we tend to just drop everything all at once. That's not a wise thing to do. But to keep balance, you actually have to keep going. You don't stop. And you make little adjustments continually as you go. How good is that? Well done. Give him a round of applause. Because time is our most valuable asset. So it's important how we distribute our time in order for us to be able to keep balance. So I have a few principles that you can write down and try and employ in your life, perhaps. And this is the first principle. Investing small amounts of time over time is accumulative. If you want to exercise for 30 minutes a day, 3 to 4 days a week, week after week, month after month, and year after year, you're going to accumulate fitness, health, and strength. If you practice an instrument, much, I imagine the worship team has done this a lot, 30 minutes, a few times a week, week after week, month after month, year after year, you become proficient. I'd hate to see the results of someone who just practices once, gets up here and tries to bring us into a place of worship. I don't think it would happen. It's small amounts of time over time that build things up. There's also no benefit in one installment. The good thing is, though, conversely to that, there's no benefit in missing one installment either. If you have a regular practice that you do, if you continually go to the gym and you have to miss one installment, it's not going to make much of a difference. In fact, there will be times you need to miss one installment to use your time more wisely in another area. It's the constant deposits of time distributed over time that makes a difference. When I was growing up, I got into the habit of every time I got $50 or more in my piggy bank. Anyone have a piggy bank or a money tin back then? Used to be rattle and I used to sort of weigh it and I'd count it out and I'd like counting it out. And then when I got to $50, I'd go down to the bank. And this is in the days when you had passbooks, okay? You will not know what I'm talking about. Passbooks, and you would take it down, I'd give it to the teller, they'd write in the amount and the date, and then I'd go back over and I could see how my money was growing, and it was really exciting. And I liked that. And every time I got to $1,000 in my passbook, I would take it out and I'd put it into a term deposit. Now, for those of you who might not even know what a term deposit is, it's just you put your money away for a 6 to 12 month period. And each year, these term deposits would come up for renewal. And I just got into the habit of just reinvesting those term deposits. And it kept accumulating to the place when I came to 23 years old, as I would purchase my first house. At 23. And I actually believe, especially those who are wanting to buy a house and you're young right now, start continually putting small deposits away over time and you'll still be able to do that. Don't believe what the media and everyone else is actually telling you. But I continued these deposits over my lifetime and as a result, it's been able to free me to make and say yes to a whole lot of things that God wanted me to do. Allowed me to say yes to go back to Bible college and study. Allowed me to say yes to come into a job and work in ministry. If I hadn't made those decisions, those small deposits then, I wouldn't be doing what I'm doing now. In the key areas of your life, the things that are most important to you, it's important to invest small amounts of time over time. Second principle I want you to think about tonight is neglect is accumulative as well. Every gardener will tell you that if you don't tend your garden, you're going to end up with, come on, work with me, weeds. That's right, weeds. The problem is that neglect is often easier than those small continuous efforts over time. But for, again, every gardener will know, once those weeds have come up and you try to pull them out with whatever you're trying to grow, it will pull whatever the good stuff out as well. Neglect in the key areas of your life over time makes a big difference. Prior to working in the church, I used to work in operating theatres. And if you think investing in your health is time-consuming or a waste of time, wait until something happens to you physically that could have been avoided if you'd invested small amounts of time over time. As I said, I came to this realization a few years ago. I had to make some changes in my life. One of those was to actually invest in my life physically and relationally. Anne and I, we like exercise, and so we chose to get a personal trainer, and we would go once a week and we'd drive in, and the drive-in would sometimes be a little bit tense. We'd work out, all the good endorphins are released, and we could solve the world's problems on the way home. It was amazing. It was great. But that was such valuable time, and time and money well spent. We added up over the end of the year, and there was $5,000 we'd invested into that. But let me tell you, that is much cheaper than an operation. It's much cheaper than counselling, and it's certainly cheaper than divorce. Third principle, random has no accumulative value. Kids these days, they say, oh, it's so random. You've heard it? Come out of their mouths, so random. But random's not intentional, it is what it is. It's random, it's out of place. There's no accumulative value in the random things we choose to do over the important things in life. Don't neglect those important things in order for the random. Don't stay up late watching some random TV show instead of going to bed with your spouse. And then don't come and complain to me when something's not happening in the bedroom. Don't troll social media instead of engaging with your children. Trying to keep up with what everyone else is doing. Actually engage with them. Don't answer your phone to some random caller over dinner, no matter who you're with. When you add up random, you get random. There is no value in it. But small deposits over time are accumulative. Fourth principle is this: you can't make up for misspent time. In the areas that matter most to you, the most important things in life, you cannot make up for misspent time. I know when I was back at high school, I would often cram for my exams. Who's a crammer? I was a crammer. Last minute, the essays, they'd be getting done up to the last minute. Sometimes at uni, those guys at uni, that's what you might do. Even at work, sometimes you can pull all-nighters or you can cram to get things done. You may even say, I work better under pressure. Yeah? I work better under pressure. Has that been said? I've said that sometimes. But you cannot cram for the most important areas of your life, for your relationships, for your finances, for your health, and for your spiritual maturity. These things take time. It's the way the world works. It's not an instant. So in the most important areas of your life, you need to continually make small deposits of time over time to accumulate strength, maturity, health, and balance. Ephesians 5:15 says this: be very careful then how you live, not as unwise, but as wise, making the most of every opportunity, or in some versions of the Bible says, making the most of your time, because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will is. As I'm saying, what is your plan and purpose? Take that time to know. Be wise with your time and you'll know what the Lord's will is. Paul here is warning us about following our feelings and our desires. Feelings that says, oh, it's too hard to do that. It'll take too long. I don't have the energy. These are all excuses I use. Nothing new. I'm sure you use them as well. Paul's addressing this, our time, because he knows that our time equals our life. It's our most valuable asset. When he's saying the days are evil, he's saying there that there are many distractions. Just as there were then, there are many distractions today that want to pull you away from your plan and your purpose. In fact, it's the enemy's best weapon to fulfill us from fulfilling what God's plan is for our life. Because you can't get any more time. Once it's gone, it's gone. Can't save it up like money. sometimes does seem like time drags. Coming up to 5 o'clock sometimes before you're about to knock off. The week before holidays, gee, that week goes slowly. When you're on holidays, all of a sudden it seems like it's in fast forward. But you cannot stop time. It's why we need to be so careful with the time that we have. Be very careful then how you live, not as unwise. Use every opportunity or be intentional with your time. I hate to look back and say, how could I have been so foolish and waste so much time in my life? As I said, if I hadn't been intentional with my finances when I was young, I wouldn't be where I am right now. Then again, there are many things that I should have used my time better for, and I probably would have been a lot further ahead. It goes both ways. But time matters. There'll be people here tonight who have built up debts over time. There'll be people here tonight who have ruined relationships over time. There'll be people who have developed health issues over time. There'll be people who have lost intimacy and love of their spouse because of neglect over time. But I want you to know that there's no weapon that's forged against you that is going to prosper. That God is no man's debtor, and he still has a plan and a purpose for your life. And tonight, it is time to start making a change. So where do you need to start making consistent deposits of time? Relationally, spiritually, financially, physically, professionally. I ask you again, what is the wise thing to do? Not what is the easy thing to do, not what is the fastest thing to do, but what is the wise thing to do? And to add three parts to that question, what is the wise thing to do in light of your past experiences? Not my past experiences, because your life is different to my life. What you do will be different to what I do. But in light of your past experiences, if you've come to a certain situation or circumstance and you've been here before, think back, what did I do in the past? Did that work for me? Did it not? What would be the wise thing to do right now? What's the wise thing to do in light of your current circumstances? So what's going on in your life right now? Would it be wise to take on this new job? Sure, it's going to mean more money. That'll be awesome. That's what we need, more money. It's going to get me ahead. But you know what? It's going to take me away from the family a heck of a lot more as well. And right now when they're young, is that a wise thing to do? Right now when they're going through VCE, would that be a wise thing to do? I don't know where you are, what you're doing. And the third filter on what is a wise thing to do, in light of your future hopes and dreams, because there are so many opportunities and choices out there. But if they do not contribute to what is important to your life, then perhaps they're a distraction. Perhaps it's something trying to pull you off. As I finish, I just want to hopefully free you up when you come to thinking about using your time. You're always, and this is a statement that I heard being said, you'll always let someone down with your decisions on how you spend your time. I should know, I'm a people pleaser. And so it's one of the things that I know that I say, oh, if I don't do that, it's going to let them down. You're always going to let someone down with how you allocate and use your time. But Kevin DeYoung says it this way. Jesus didn't do it all. Jesus didn't meet every need. He left people waiting in line to be healed. He left one town to preach in another. He hid away to pray. He got tired. He never interacted with the vast majority of people on the planet. He spent 30 years in training and only 3 years in ministry. He did not try and do it all. And yet, he did everything that God asked him to do. Jesus made wise decisions. He used his time well because he knew it was important to him. Therefore, he was able to complete what God had asked him to do. So what is important to you and what is a wise use of your time? Let's ask the band to come up. In a moment, they're going to sing a song over you. And I want you to take that time as they're singing to perhaps contemplate what is God speaking to you right now, an area of your life that you need to spend some time on, start putting those small deposits of time into. Because then when you get to the end of your life, you'll be able to look back and you'll be glad that you've done it. And when they're finished, I'm going to come up and I'm going to say a prayer over you. And many of you will know this prayer. It's called the Serenity Prayer. And I encourage you to look it up during the week and just say it over yourself, just to help you keep on track to using your time more wisely. God, grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, courage to change the things that I can, and the wisdom to know the difference. Living one day at a time, enjoying one moment at a time, accepting hardships as the pathway to peace, taking as He did this sinful world as it is, not as I would have it, trusting that He will make all things right if I surrender to His will, so that I may be reasonably happy in this life and supremely happy with Him forever and ever and in the next. Amen.